reading from Psalm 9. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvellous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. When my enemies turn back, they shall fall and perish at your presence, for you have maintained my right and my cause. You sat on the throne, judging in righteousness. You have rebuked the nations. You have destroyed the wicked. You have blotted out their name for ever and ever. O enemy, destructions are finished for ever, and you have destroyed cities. Even their memory has perished. But the Lord shall endure for ever. He has prepared his throne for judgment. He shall judge the world in righteousness. And he shall administer judgment for the peoples in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Declare his deeds among the people. When he avenges blood, he remembers them. He does not forget the cry of the humble. Have mercy on me, O Lord. Consider my trouble from those who hate me. You who lift me up from the gates of death, that I may tell of all your praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in your salvation. The nations have sunk down in the pit which they made, in the net which they hid. Their own foot is caught. The Lord is known by the judgment he executes. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Meditation. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forgot God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, do not let man prevail. Let the nations be judged in your sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. This evening as we continue on in Psalm 9, we turn to verse 13. At the end of verse 12, we read, he does not forget the cry of the humble. And then here, David, in verse 13, utters the cry of the humble. We have his cry unto the Lord. Have mercy on me, O Lord. Consider my trouble from those who hate me. You who lift me up from the gates of death. Here in these words, indeed, are the cries of David the psalmist in the situation he was in. They are the cries of all God's elect in every trial and every trouble. And they are the cries of the Saviour from the cross. For indeed he was encircled, he was surrounded by an innumerable company of enemies. Bulls of Bashan, they are called in Psalm 22. But the Lord rescued him from them all. And he shall rescue us who are his from them all, from every single one of them. from every single trouble, from every single trial. This is not the gospel of believe in Jesus and everything will be fine. This is not the health, wealth and prosperity gospel. But nonetheless, this is the truth of the gospel, that the Lord Jesus Christ cares for his people. And we are, according to his promise, safe and secure in his hand, and none shall pluck us. We have his promise. We have his promise, and his promise is sure. The title of the message this evening is this: His Mercy is Forever. Now that title could quite easily be His Mercy Lasts Forever, but I would suggest to say His Mercy Lasts Forever implies a limitation. But His Mercy Is Forever speaks of Him as being God Almighty. He is. I am that I am, he says. And so everything of God, everything of his attributes are. They are. His mercy is. His mercy is. And it is everlasting as he is everlasting. It is immutable, unchangeable, unchanging as he is unchanging. Now here in this verse we have the cry, the anxious cry of a child of God. Have mercy on me, O Lord. What a privilege it is to be in Christ Jesus. What a privilege it is to be a true child of God. Because note who David cries to here. He doesn't cry to the gods of this world that are not gods. The imaginations of men's hearts. Or who he would suppose God to be. He knows God. He cries out to God as he is. As we saw previously, the Lord shall endure forever. Those who know your name. Those who know your name. Those who know your name. That's the most important thing we need to know. Those who know your name will put their trust in you. In you. He cried out to Yahweh, Jehovah, the great I am, the one true God. Therefore, he knew who he was crying out to. He was coming before God, his Saviour, and therefore he knew God was attending unto his cry. He knew that he was being heard because he was coming into the very presence of the Almighty in prayer. That is the privilege of every child of God. We come into the presence of the Almighty. Don't lose sight of that. When we read here, have mercy on me, O Lord. Not everyone can utter that cry. Not everyone can utter that cry, coming into the very presence of the Almighty, coming before his throne of grace by the Lord Jesus Christ, the one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. That is our privilege, to come into his presence. And so firstly, the God who called you, even as David knew here, the God who called you, the God who called you by his grace and mercy, will not forsake you to anything or anyone. Don't lose sight of mercy and grace being a continuing thing, a continuing gift to us. It never ceases to be outpoured to us, as we've been seeing in 2 Peter 1. God's grace and mercy is overflowing to his people, and we depend upon it continually. The same mercy which rescued you from the very enemy of your soul, the greatest enemy of your soul, even your sin which condemned you, he shall give you fresh stores of mercy in all circumstances. Fresh stores of mercy. Not the same mercy as yesterday, no matter how great that is, but fresh stores of mercy today. In every circumstance, in every condition. For our God is full of mercy. It is who he is. He is full of mercy toward his people. The psalmist says elsewhere in Psalm 118:29, "O give thanks unto the Lord." Why? Well, here's a good reason why. For he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Have mercy on me, O Lord. Have mercy on me, O Lord. Have mercy on me, O Lord, is our continual prayer to him. It's not a prayer to be saved continually. Don't get me wrong. This is not the teaching of that you can lose your salvation somehow. But we cry out to mercy as we live in the body of this flesh. We need his mercy continually. As we strive daily with the things of this life and the things of the flesh and the things of sin. All who have known the call of God's grace in his Son, the Lord Jesus, having been drawn to experience his mercy in the forgiveness, the pardon of all sin, depend upon that same mercy. That same mercy, not to save now, but the same mercy to keep. To live by faith in this world of sin. Colossians 2 verse 6, which we quote so often, and we should never tire of quoting. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him. Tell me the old story. Yes, we sang just now. Tell me the old story. And we need to hear that old story continue as a needy little child. That's how we entered the kingdom, as a little child. and we depend upon our Heavenly Father as a needy little child. Though we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we mature in the faith and we not be immature in the faith, nonetheless, we have a dependence upon our God as a child, as a little child would, upon their father. So walk you in him, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. You received Christ. If you be in the Lord Jesus, you received Christ pleading one thing. What did you plead? Mercy. Pleading for mercy. Pleading for that which his word, which this word, mercy, speaks of. It speaks of God's pity upon us. That's what mercy speaks of. God's pity upon us. His favour and kindness toward you. It's what Paul tells Titus in Titus 3. The kindness of God appeared in Jesus Christ. The kindness of God appeared unto us by his mercy. How is it that you know these fresh stores? These fresh stores. This constant outpouring of grace and mercy in our lives as the elect of God. How is it? It is by drawing near to God. It's by constantly drawing near to God. His word says to us in Hebrews 10, and having a high priest over the house of God, not like the high priests of the Levitical law, theirs was a continual priesthood. Not a continual priesthood as his is, but a continual in the sense of they died and then others took over from them. And the sacrifices they offered were continual because none of those sacrifices could take away sin. And not one single high priest or priest in the tabernacle and then the temple, not one single one had a piece of furniture in there that enabled them to sit down. It was not in the furniture. It was not amongst the furniture of the tabernacle and the temple. Neither could they sit down because their work was continual, perpetual. Not so the Lord Jesus Christ. As we read at our communion time in Hebrews 1, when he had indeed purged our sin, finished the work, finished the transgression, he sat down. He sat down. He's seated because it is completed. Complete, perfect, finished. We have a high priest over the house of God, over the church of God. Because we have this high priest, the one who all the high priests pointed to, the fulfillment of all things, him who is the true, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Let's draw near to God through the high priest Jesus, through our Lord Jesus Christ, the mediator, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. That's how we know these fresh stores of God's grace. How we experience them. By drawing near to God continually. However
many words we can utter or not utter, he sees the cries of our hearts. When you go home, look at Psalm 5 again. We saw that in Psalm 5. We saw in Psalm 5 give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. My meditation, not just my words, consider my meditation, my heart. Hear the cries of my heart. It is to come in and through our precious Saviour and Lord, Jesus Christ. Have mercy on me, O Lord. It is to come in and through our Lord Jesus Christ, who is himself Jehovah God, the only God and Saviour. The only God and Saviour is my Saviour. That's the cry for mercy. You're my Saviour. It is he who pleads and intercedes. I believe this was prayed earlier. It is he who pleads and intercedes continually. Continually. Constantly. For his elect ones. Not one is forgotten. Not one is forgotten. You know, when we have these times of prayer, and you've known it in prayer meetings before, and maybe in other churches as well, in other times, people can be praying, and our memories forget sometimes. We just forget the most obvious of names sometimes that we know so well. And someone has to call out, someone sometimes calls out and reminds us the name. Not so with God. He knows. He knows us all. Not one is forgotten. Not one is forgotten by the Redeemer. He intercedes for all his redeemed by name. Our names are on the palms of his hands anyway. Yes, as surely we needed his mercy to rescue us from the peril of our sin. Therefore, all our earthly need in everything depends upon his mercy. Everything. Even the most mundane of things depends upon his mercy. So heed the call. Heed the call. Heed the wonderful invitation of your Redeemer in his word. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Come boldly unto the throne of grace. What are we crying out? Have mercy on me, O Lord. Come boldly, come boldly. Come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Every day I need thee. Every day I need thee, says the hymn writer. He knows all that ails you. He knows all that ails you before it comes upon you. He is the one who pities as one that pities a child. What a great God we have. What a great Saviour we have. What a great privilege is ours. Secondly, as the psalmist prays, have mercy on me, O Lord. Consider my trouble. Consider my trouble. Consider my trouble. Look upon see. Look, consider. Consider. Look upon. See. Gaze upon. Gaze upon my misery, my depression. Consider my trouble. He cries out to God, who is the one, the one, that said to Moses of his people, afflicted in bondage in Egypt, I have surely seen. I have surely seen. Not for one moment did he not see. Did he not gaze? Did he not look upon? Did he not see? Did he not consider? I have surely seen the affliction of my people. I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. And he knows your sorrows. And he has surely seen. And he surely sees. And he surely will see. And he surely has heard. And he surely will continue to hear. He will consider your trouble. Whatever your affliction, whatever your depression, whatever troubles you, call upon him. Call upon him, the all-seeing, all-knowing Lord God, whose gaze is particularly upon his elect, constantly upon us. Constantly upon us. He never ceases to look upon us with that loving gaze, coming by his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The psalmist begs, pleads for the Lord's mercy. He pleads for the Lord's mercy to consider his troubles caused by them that hate me. The Lord Jesus has reminded us, has reminded us, even as David was hated by those who hated God, who hated God's way, who hated God's word, who hated God's anointed, who was David, who indeed points us to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Lord's anointed and who is hated by the world. He reminds us that indeed, if they hated me, they will hate you also. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And he remembers our frailty. He remembers that we are dust. He considers and he hears and he cares. Those enemies of David were physical and spiritual. And many indeed are the enemies of all God's people who are in Christ Jesus. Many, manifold enemies there are. Yet we cry out, pleading God's mercy, with great, great confidence. That's the difference between being a child of God and being one who follows after religion. Someone who follows after religion, be it worldly religion in general or be it so-called Christian religion, it matters not. Those who follow mere religion, they just hope it is so. But the one who cries out, yes, in desperation, yes, in trouble, yes, in grief, yes, in sadness, yes, in tears and pleadings, nonetheless cries out knowing that the Lord is with them, knowing that the Lord will surely hear. How come? How is it that you can cry out with confidence for mercy from God? Continued mercy from God. How is it that you can cry out with absolute assurance and confidence, though you feel downhearted, in despair, and are tempted that it is otherwise? How is it that you can have absolute confidence and assurance? It is because God has promised it is so. He has told it to us in His Word. This is what He says to us in Psalm 34. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears. Not the Lord will hear, the Lord hears. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Out of them all. God is not the one who does things in a half-hearted way. God hears us always when we cry to Him. For God does not just observe, hear your cries for help in this desperation only in some circumstances. No, in all of them. That's His promise. That's why you can cry out as David, in desperation yet with confidence, have mercy on me, O Lord, consider my trouble from those who hate me. That is why you can know with great assurance that He hears and looks upon you with pity and love, in His mercy towards you. Yes, He hears your despairing cries for mercy as you strive against indwelling sin, waging warfare against your new nature, which is born of God. The Apostle Paul cried out, as we all do, in frustration at times, in despair, in depression, being afflicted by his old nature of sin. These are the words of the Apostle Paul. I find them comforting to know that this man knew the same strivings with sin. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I do, will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, That is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God, according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Where was his hope? Where was the hope of Paul? Where is our hope? When we strive against the enemy to our soul, even indwelling sin, it is only in the Lord Jesus. It is only in the Lord Jesus. We must flee to the Lord Jesus, Him alone. For verse 25 says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the answer to his cry. Who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Thirdly, we see the reason why David cried out to the Lord. The reason why he cried out to the Lord with such confidence, such great confidence and assurance. Have mercy on me, O Lord. Consider my trouble from those who hate me. Truly he had proved his God to be faithful in the past, and therefore he would not let him down now. He says, you who lift me up from the gates of death. How many times was God's servant in the peril of death? From his enemies, the threatenings of his enemies. And he was spared by the Lord's mercy. On various occasions, David was rescued from the sword of death when his enemies came against him. And all our hope as those trusting Christ Jesus, trusting in the Lord, is in the one who has plucked us, grasped us, plucked us as brands from the burning. From hell itself, from the very jaws of hell. You who lift me up from the gates of death. We have been lifted up from the very gates of that second death, that we shall not face now, because we have been given new life in Christ Jesus. Those knowing this Saviour God cry out to him as the one who, by the glorious power of his Spirit, has raised us from the grave of our sin, being made alive in Jesus Christ. We've been raised from the dead. As surely as he has been raised from the dead. I was considering those words that Brother Wickham was reading in Ephesians 1 before I came up to preach, and considering that great power that raised the Lord Jesus from the dead is that power that came upon us Resurrection power. Have He quickened? Have He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins? You who lift me up from the gates of death, have mercy on me. You who have lifted me and will lift me. All the elect of God. All the elect of God. Chosen and called in Jesus Christ. Have this great confidence. That death has no power over us. And there is nothing to fear in it. Nothing to fear in it. The power of death is done away with. This is Resurrection Day. The power of death is done away with. He is risen, and we are risen with Him. Nothing to fear. 1 Corinthians 15. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is in the law, is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is risen indeed. We have this great hope. We have this great confidence that we can come before God and cry out, have mercy on me. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because the Saviour has been given the victory over His enemies. He has conquered over every principality and power at the cross. He was lifted from the gates of death. For it was impossible that He could be held there. Impossible. It was impossible. It was impossible that He should see corruption. As the Word of God declares to us, because He lives, we shall also live together with Him. All because His mercy endures forever. Amen.